All right, our reading will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 7. And it reads, as you please follow along as I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor, walk by faith. Neighbor, walk by faith. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Walk by Faith. But before we dig in, and we're about to dig in, we have to always keep the Word of God in the context in which it was written. What was going on was that the church in Corinth, y'all, were experiencing tribulation. They were experiencing some of them being killed, some being persecuted, some wanting to walk away from Jesus. Why does all this happen? Because anytime you bring light to darkness, darkness is always trying to put out the light.
All the time. Oh, yeah.
But when you go back and you read it, there's two words. I mean, there's a word that is repeated in two verses. The word is confident.
Yeah.
As the people of God in verse 6, we have to learn how to be confident. In verse 8, he says it again. And lets us know that as the people of God, we have to learn how to be confident. You know, the one thing that we have to understand, because every last one of us, when we came to Jesus, we all had self-esteem issues. Some of us were overconfident. Some of us had no confidence. But what I want us to get today is to recognize how you are able to live a life of faith from this day forward. The Christian journey ought to be a journey that is walked by faith. The interesting thing about verse number 7 that Paul was letting the church know then and still letting us know today is that whether you use faith or sight, you're walking. Which means that he's saying whether you operate through faith or not, you're still living this life. I don't care how you try to stop and pump the brakes on your life. Don't you know time is not going to stand still, even though you are standing still? That things are always moving. So in our lives, whether we know it or not, our lives are always moving. And what Paul utilized in moving by saying, walking. Now, when you walk, the second portion of that statement in verse 7, he says, not by sight. There is something we have to understand. You see, they say the eye is the window to the soul. That's what some folks say, right? But I want you to see something. When you look at things through the physical, and if that's all you utilize when you look at things, you do not see the whole picture. You will only see what the eye is showing. And if you're only focusing on what you see through your eye, I want you to know that if you're not careful, doubt will creep in. Disappointment will come a knocking. Frustration will bang on your door. Anger will say, here I am. Because when you look through things with the physical eye, more times than not, you become frustrated by what you see. And even if you try to stop walking, you can't. Life continues to just drag you along, whether you want to go or not. Because things don't stop, even when you do. You know how some folks say, fold their arms and say, I don't care, I ain't going to do nothing. Whether you do nothing at all, life ain't stopping. You ain't stopping. And no matter how hard you think you are, you ain't stopping. Because you've taken that active position of saying that I am standing still. So when you look at things through your physical eyes, it is one of the ways that the enemy wants you and I to see. You're just wasting your time. Why are you going to go up in there and shout hallelujah and get excited? Because when I look all through your house, I see a whole lot of stuff wrong. How are you going to still say God is good and that he's good all the time? When now there's an empty chair at the table. How can you still say God is good and that he loves me and cares about me? When bill collectors keep calling and saying that they're about to repossess my car and foreclose on my house, how can I say that my God is a healer and deliverer? And you are going through an illness or a sickness. You see, when you look at it through the physical eye, all the enemy wants you to see are things that are going to weigh you down. Brother Phil, how can you still say God is good and you're walking around having to take in oxygen every day? Mother Austin, how can you say God is good? You're 94 years old and have some aches and some pain. Can I preach for a few more minutes? You see, I want us to understand, when you look through the physical eye, Deacon George Folk will say, how can you sit up there and sing in the choir when all your wife is going through? You see, y'all, this is called real life. And with real life, you're going to have some real issues. And when you deal with real issues, if all you use is your physical eye to look at it, you will get depressed. You'll close your curtains. You want to lay in your bed all day and all night. Pop a few pills just to get you through. But Sharonda, I don't care how many pills you pop. After you finish popping the pills, the problems are. You see, so when you look at stuff through the physical, and that is the only lens you use, I want you to know you will get tripped up. Can I be real with you this morning? Are you sure? All of us at some time or another have gotten tripped up. I know you don't want to say amen because you're perfect now. You're holy now. You study the word now. You pray all the time now. But I want you to know that all of us in our Christian journeys have gotten tripped up. If Adam and Eve, who had a chance to see the God who we serve, walk in the garden with them, talk with them, and had time with him, still they got. If David, who understood how good the Lord was and used him to defeat the giant and create the people of Israel and allow them to become a great people. But one day he was walking on his balcony. And the brother got Moses, who led the people out of Egypt under the commander called Jehovah. When they were in the wilderness, then folk plucked his nerves. God told him, speak to the rock. Moses got what? Tripped up. And he struck the rock. So just because you are anointed and appointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, don't think that the enemy say, well, that's one I lost. No, he gonna try at every turn to try and trip us. Oh, Lord, I know. I know this kind of tough pill to swallow. But I want you to understand that Paul was letting the people in Corinth know that what y'all are dealing with, what you are going through, it ain't just you. It happens to every child of God. I want you in here to know right now that you might be going through some of this and some of that. But what I'm here to tell you today is that don't get caught up with what you see in the physical. Because as long as you focus on the physical of what you see through your eyes, I want you to realize you will be frustrated. It will get hard for you to come to church and say hallelujah anyhow. It'll be hard for you to just say, I serve a mighty good God. It will be hard for you to say that our God is a way maker. Because when you look at the way things are going in your life right now, based on what you see, you all of a sudden, when folks say that to you, you just clam up. But I'm here to tell you, there is good news. The good news comes when we make a decision. We have to learn how to implement in our lives the thing that will unlock the door, cause the walls to fall, cause the sea to part, cause the storm to be at bay. And I want you to know the only way you will find out what I'm talking about is that you must make the decision. Look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, are you ready to make the decision? Because I want you to know, if you want to see how you can stop all hell from breaking loose in your life, my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to walk by faith, because we can't walk by sight. Because as long as we have been walking by sight, we know that we have been toe up. And the enemy has been tripping us up all along the way. But now that we have confidence of knowing we serve a mighty good God who makes a way out of no way, a God who sticks closer to us than any brother, a God who supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, a God who has been there with us, who has lifted us up, who has turned us around, who has cleaned us up, who has made us whole again, and his name is
Jesus.
You see, we've come this far by faith. Don't you know that BRBC is only here because the people of God have made the decision to walk by faith. You see, but it didn't start with us. Back in 1896, there was a contingent that came together, because back then they wasn't driving Lexuses, Mercedes, Yukons, Cadillacs, Porsches, Jaguars. For those that were fortunate, they might have had a wagon with a horse to pull it. But the majority of the folk back then, they went on with pit and pat. That's called left and right. I'm talking about your feet. They said it was way too far for us to try to walk way over there. We talking about struggles. I can drive over to First Baptist in about 10 minutes. Okay. Try walking it. And right now, even if you had to walk it, everything is laid out, Rem Rose. There's sidewalks. But I want you to know, back in 1896, there wasn't a whole lot of sidewalks. They was going over some creeks. They was going through some woods. And they came to realize that we are going to now step out on faith. And we are going to assemble right here. And if we trust in the Lord and operate in faith, the Lord's going to bless us. Now, did they know what they did back 120 years ago would be where we are right now? You see, back then they just had a bush harbor where they just cleared out some space and just said, we're going to praise the Lord right here. But when I look at where we are right now, we are continuing to walk in the faith that they walked in back then. You see, because I know there were some folk who laughed at them then, told them it's a waste of time. But they continue to walk by faith. And they realized that it wasn't going to be easy. But they serve a God who makes a way out of no way. And look at where we are 120 years later. And it's nobody but Jesus who made a way out of no way. Because I want you to know, Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. Jesus is the one that everybody tried to dismiss. But I want you to know that Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. So when you look and when you see with your naked eye that all hell's trying to break loose, you just go on and praise God anyhow. Because I want us to know, when you institute faith in your life, we allow the Lord to activate in our situation. And he will step in right on time. Why? Because when we walk by faith, what we're saying is that, Lord, what I'm looking at is bigger than me. But guess what? It's not bigger than our God. So, Lord, that's why we praise you. That's why we thank you. That's why we magnify your holy name. Because you have been mighty good to us. Has God been good to you? Is God blessing you? Has God healed you? Is he making a way for you? Is he stepping into your life? Is he in the midst of your situation? Then you ought to put your head back and say, hallelujah! You see, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk to you just a couple of more minutes. Because that aroma from the kitchen is starting to kick in on y'all. And if I keep preaching, you ain't going to hear me anyway. But what I want you to gather from this whole thing is that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. Because the Lord is a rewarder of them that seek him. So I want us to know that as the people of God, what is faith? Faith is your ability to say yes to what God can do. Even when your physical eye tells you, you ought to say no. That's my definition of faith. It's being able to just say, God, I'm going to get out the way and let you get in the way. Lord, I'm going to praise you when others think it just don't make sense. And even when I look at some of the stuff I deal with and got to go through, Lord, I'm going to go on and give you a holy dance because you are a holy God. And Lord, and when I look back over when you came and you got me, you see, when you came and got me, I wasn't all that. A bag of chips, two soda, and a shake on the side. Lord, when you came and you got me, I wasn't worth 2 cents. You see, I want you to understand, Sister Fee, when some folk look at me now, I want you to know there was some folk in my family and said, that sorry Negro over there ain't gonna ever amount to anything. But you know what I came to realize? That if I had believed what folks said about me, I wouldn't be where I am right now. You see, but that just ain't me. That's also you. There are some folk who put some labels on your life and told you what you can't do. But what I'm here to tell you today, when you turn your life over to Jesus, when you say, Lord, I stretch my hands to you, there's no other help I know but you. I done tried a little bit of everything else. Nothing has got me through. So, Lord, I'm going to give you a try. And I want you to know when you say that to the Lord, you ain't going to have to try nothing else. Because once you got the Lord in your life, he will take a nothing and make something from it. You see, if I got a witness in God's house, if somebody told you you couldn't, but I want you to know God already has said yes over your life. It's time for you to look at that person in the mirror and say, yes, I can. Because God said I can. So I'm going to walk by what? And not by what? Because our God is a mighty good God. Can he do it, y'all? Can he make a way? Is he blessing you? He wants you to say yes. Stop telling yourself no. God is a way maker. That's why BRBC is here right now. Because God said yes. And since God said yes, look at your neighbor right now. Look at your neighbor right now. If you can't reach him, point at him. And I want you to say this to him right now. Say, neighbor,
neighbor.
No.
No.
Has to go. Now, if they're in agreement with you, you ought to turn to somebody and give them a high five right now. Because you said no has got. You see, we've had enough folk. You know, and as African Americans, you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of us blaming everybody else for our stuff. We done been through slavery. We understand stuff go wrong. We understand some folk ain't gave us a fair shot. Right. But if you continue to focus on the no, then you can't go.
Come on now.
Somebody gonna work with me. Life is such that we as a people of God, you know what the first thing we got to learn how to do? Teach our young folks to pull their pants up. Second, We got to teach them and teach ourselves how to say yes. Remember, Rose said, you better teach them old folk how to pull them pants up, too. I digress. But you remember how you always saw that one person who had their pants on, but it seemed like they were sagging and hanging down? You know why? Because they ain't had no bump back there to keep it up. But I'm not talking about them, Reverend Rose. I'm just messing. But the point I'm trying to make is when we teach them to learn how to have value in themselves. I don't need to see your BVDs, Fruit of the Looms, or Hanes. I don't need to know what color they are, blue, red, black, red, white. We're a little brown in it, but we're going to leave that alone. I don't need to know all that. You see, in order for us to truly walk by faith, you know what you got to recognize? You got value. You got value. You're important. You got value. You're important. It don't matter what folks say about you. It don't matter if you've been incarcerated. It don't matter if you had a drug problem. It don't matter if you got bad credit right now. It don't matter if you're jobless right now. You got to see yourself as having value. That God says you got value. You might have been divorced. You might have done some stuff you don't like. But I want you to know you got value. You got to learn to recognize you are more than what you see in the mirror right now. You got to operate by faith. Because when God looked at you, hold on a minute, before I get there, you don't get this. When Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross for the sin of the world. So what is that saying? That sin was choking all of us, Sister Sarah. It was choking us to the point we were barely able to breathe. But when Jesus stretched his arms wide on that cross and they nailed him on that cross, I want you to know that sin had to loosen its grip on us. Because the Lord had made a way for us. And if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be what? And since we are saved, and even if you aren't this day, Jesus died for you, knowing that you would eventually one day get that razor blade and make them white lines and get that straw. But for those who could afford it, had a $100 bill and you roll it up and you just sniff it up. Jesus knew what you were going to do, but he still died for you. He knew you was going to go out there and steal and do this and that and get locked up. But still he what? Died for you. He knew that you would not be a nice person. But still he what? Died for you. So you know what the Lord was saying for all of us when he went to the cross? He was saying, yes. Yes, you can be blessed. Yes, you can make it. Yes, you can do it. But in order for it to happen, you have to walk by
faith
and not by
sight.
BRBC, we are on a faith journey. And I want you to know, we've already got revved up. We already done cleared land. We already got some things in motion. And God is continuing to move it forward. When I see folk coming and making testimonies about how God is moving them to tithe, how God is moving them to get involved in times of study, how God is having them come to prayer services, I want you to know in the hour of power of prayer we had this past Wednesday, I want y'all to know it was such an awesome experience in what God did in our midst. Why? Because we are on this journey called faith. So that's my challenge to every child of God of BRBC. My challenge to you is to get involved. Be active in the ministry. You sitting there trying to figure it all out? No, just walk by and not by. You see, sight, the sight is what's got us all tripped up. I can't do this because of A, B, C, and D. Oh, really? What if the Lord said, you know what? I ain't going to bless you because you ain't doing A, B, C, and D. If he took that approach, how many folk would be in church? Would there be a preacher in church? Are you working with me? That's what it's all about. We have to make a decision as a body of believers to walk by faith. And you know why we can do it? Because we know, Brother Chester, that the Lord loves us. And he wants us to come just as we are. Because when we come as we are, then the Lord takes care of everything else.